Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Not Without My Orgasm. I am Dara Shepherd, vagina haver, masturbator. Sometimes I do the sex. This is my co-host, Dr. Karen Yeskovich. She also has a vagina, also has a PhD, and is also queer. Joining us via Zoom is Lyle McAdam. He is the head of communications for Positive Plus One, which is a free app providing the HIV community with a platform to find friendship, support, and maybe even love. How are you today, Lyle?
I'm very good, thanks. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. Lyle is joining us all the way from Berlin, which is pretty exciting.
Yes, it's not exactly around the corner, that's for sure. So just a little bit away. Super happy to be here.
But Berlin is very traditionally a sex-positive community, is it not?
Oh my gosh, massively so. You know, it's actually something, believe it or not, I think anyone would probably say the same. It can be almost quite overwhelming, actually, to be honest with you, whenever you arrive, because it's so... It really is something that sets the city apart, I think, from other places, especially in Europe. People think Amsterdam, but it's really that there's nowhere like Berlin. It's incredibly liberal in that way, yeah. And very much not representative of the rest of Germany either. Yeah. So let's just very clear. Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. So I'm just going to dive right into some questions. Tell us a bit about Positive Plus One and how you became the head of communications.
Gosh, so we are a new social platform. We are very new. We launched in November last year in 7 countries. So they are the UK, Ireland, the US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa. So all major English-speaking countries at the moment. Think of Positive Plus One as your kind of 360 resource hub, all in one kind of platform meets social networking platforms. Whether you are living with HIV, affected by HIV, when I say affected, you know, if you are a friend of someone or a partner, or, you know, or if you're working in the HIV space, you know, Positive Plus One offers something for you. We're really trying to bring the community together in a way that just hasn't been possible before. I think it's a community that desperately needs a resource like this. It's a community that is continually misunderstood and stigmatized. And I think, you know, the current way that HIV is dealt with and handled, and what I mean by that is when you are newly diagnosed with HIV, there isn't a support system in place that you can say, oh, here is, you know, your leaflet and here's your guidance on HIV, oh, and here is a platform, it doesn't exist. So that is where Positive Plus One came from. The idea came almost 9 years ago now. Our founder and CEO Christian Mercer Hall, one of his best friends was diagnosed with HIV and found it an incredibly complicated time and quite honestly a very, very hard thing to deal with and digest. And that was where the idea sort of started. We did initially launch as a dating platform, but through a lot of research and attending focus groups and speaking to people in the community, it became very obvious to us that people need a lot more than just romantic, sex-oriented support, right? They need the full shebang, as I would say. So that was sort of when we were thinking, well, how can we combine the familiarity of other social networking apps like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter with a resource hub with guidance sections or the directory? That's kind of where we came from and kind of what we're trying to do. How I got into my role, it was honestly a bit of a shot in the dark, to be honest with you, if I'm being totally transparent. My background is very much PR, comms, marketing. I lived in London for many, many years, moved to Berlin a couple of years ago, and I was unhappy in a previous job, you know, and just wasn't fulfilling me in any way. And I saw on LinkedIn, actually, that a mutual friend of mine that's living in Manchester and in England had reposted something that Christian had shared, and he said, oh, I'm looking for someone to help me with the launch of Positive Plus One, kind of all things PR, marketing. I'm looking for a guru, I think was what he was calling it. And I said, well, I don't know if I'm a guru, but I'll certainly apply. I actually messaged my friend first and said, look, what's this deal with this Christian guy? You know, what's this Positive Plus One? What's it all about? Yada, yada, yada. Would you recommend it? And he's, oh, it's amazing what he's doing. You should definitely get in touch with him. We scheduled a few calls, spoke about some ideas. I put together a proposal for him. He really liked it. And here we are. It's been almost almost a year now. So yeah, time is flying by, but yeah, I'm loving it. It's an amazing platform and it's amazing thing to be a part of. So yeah, and here we are.
That's wonderful that your passion behind everything you just said is just so amazing, and just I can feel it. I can feel your passion all the way from Berlin. It's wonderful. I love it.
Thank you.
My next question is, as far as I can tell, and you did cover this, you're pretty much the only social media platform to cater solely for the HIV community and those affected by HIV. And I loved how you clarified that, because it's not just those who have the diagnosis, but their friends and their loved ones and those surrounding the area and the space. So that was absolutely excellent for bringing that up. So what is it like to be the only social media app to cater to the HIV community?
I mean, I think, you know, it's a great question. I think it's an enormous privilege. I think, you know, we realize, but well, actually, I think there's two things I will say. It's for sure it's a privilege, and we don't take that for granted at all. But more recently, again, if I'm being very transparent, there's a lot of pressure at the moment, to be totally honest. There's a lot of pressure in the business, a lot of pre and that goes across all avenues, emotionally, financially, physically, mentally. I think we're all really feeling the pressure. I think especially our product team, who are really just absolutely working, when I say tirelessly, through the night, you name it, they're doing it, trying to enhance the product. What can we do next? You know, I think it puts you in a position where the community are always kind of looking to us and to, kind of saying, you know, well, we are sort of leading from you. You know, what's next? And there is pressure for sure. I think we want to make sure that we get it right first and foremost, that we are doing the right thing. And when I say the right thing in terms of offering people what they actually need, and doing our due diligence and making sure that we actually are delivering on what we have said we would deliver on, you know, it's all very well just saying a bunch of stuff, but actually delivering on it and bringing it through to the end is a different scenario. So I think at the moment it's a real mixture of we're very, very lucky, we're so excited, and we're happy that we're finally here. You know, the launch period was a very, very challenging time, but an exciting time, mixed with a lot of pressure. I think, you know, we're at the stage now where we need to grow, and we need to grow very quickly. There is clearly a demand for this in other countries. There is a demand for the app in other languages. There is an app, there's, you know, and we haven't even scratched the surface in terms of other continents. You know, for example, Asia, Europe, we're not even present there yet. And that is millions of people that we have an ability to connect with and enhance their lifestyle in a way. So it's a mixture of scaling meets pressure meets excitement, and it's just kind of trying to juggle all of that and make sure that we are staying focused, really, and just making sure we're getting it right and getting the job done.
I feel like you sound like you all are on the right track. Absolutely. That's just
I
absolutely
hope so.
amazing.
Good
Do it. Oh, you have a question, Dr. Yes? Yes,
I
ask.
have a question.
Question. You said that quite quietly. So
I know. I didn't want to interrupt. It's her show. I'm the guest to help along,
It's
but
okay.
I
I'm
just
only
wanted to
doing.
jump in. I love the concept, and I'm quite curious about. I'm wondering if part of that pressure is, have you had people who are really challenged with the gravity of learning about their new status and the mental health challenges that might come along with that, in making that transition and trying to find, a path forward? And do you have mental health resources that you refer people to? Do you have counts? I'm a psychologist. I don't know if I mentioned that. So I'm curious about having, professionals that can assist when needed as a resource.
So I th that again, that's a great point. And I think it's very, very clear. And again, we don't, you know, beat around the bush or anything, pardon the pun with that. But you know, we are not, oh, we couldn't resist, I'm sorry.
And
We are
I shaved recently. There is no bush to beat around,
Lord
folks.
mercy.
We are not, you know, we are not doctors. We are not medical experts, you know, and we make that very clear. You know, we are, so we, you know, don't take what we say as gospel. However, what we do have, and it's one of the, in my opinion, one of the strongest elements of our platform, and it kind of touches on what I was saying earlier about a guidance and a directory section. We actually collaborate and partner with global organizations, charities, nonprofits that are, well, some are directly related to the HIV AIDS space, others are LGBTQ charities, women research studies, things like this. And what those people, what those organizations are doing, that is where the expertise comes in. So, you know, for example, in the UK, which is our home market, which is where our founder is based, you know, we work with the George's House Trust, Saving Lives UK, the Terence Higgins Trust. I'm sure you've probably heard some of these names before. And within these organizations, there are psychological, mental resources, mental health resources. So having that organization registered and affiliated on our platform is showing, one, a sign of advocacy, a sign of endorsement for our platform. And that is where people would go to seek guidance and seek what, so like I say, we are not trying to outdo anybody or take anything away from anybody else. We are simply trying to enhance what is currently available and what is currently on offer in the HIV AIDS community. And like I say, we're doing that by bringing everything together in a centralized resource platform. So, you know, we're not on there giving advice, and we're not on there saying, oh, you should take this or see this person. There are members doing that. There are members that are connecting and speaking with each other. If you wish to do that, then absolutely. But I make it very clear, I am our head of comms. I am not our head doctor or head medical professional. That's not my remit. That's not my realm. But we are able to facilitate connection to those people by joining Positive Plus One, and they can then seek the guidance that they need. We also have a specific guidance section that is written by thought leaders, influencers, other medical professionals that have personal profiles on our platform that are speaking firsthand, be it through their research, through their own lived experiences. And so that is where the, if I can say, the trustworthy information is coming from in terms of the reliability of a source. Does that make sense? I realize that was maybe a little bit, you know, it's a little bit complicated, but you know, it's we are not the medical professionals, but we are building this platform and trying to bring them all together, if I can say it like that.
Yes, it absolutely makes sense. What an excellent question, Dr. Yes. That's why you're here.
Yay.
You know, you're here to help make us better.
Well, and it sounds like to me peer support is, you know, you're providing a space for peer support in the broadest sense.
Absolutely.
And that is really crucial. I have to say, my spouse is immune compromised. They had a heart transplant, and they have an online support. And it's so crucial for them to talk to each other, to say, here's what to expect, here's what can go wrong, and here's what can go right in continuing to live your life. And the longer you live post-transplant, the more you're an inspiration to others to say, it's possible to have a full and fulfilling life. And so I see the parallels there, and it kind of saddens me that you're so late to the game, quite frankly. So I'm thrilled that you're doing the work you're doing. It's great.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. And I think that also just comes on the topic of peer support, you know, coming back to what I'm saying before about feeling a little bit of pressure almost, but it's mixed with excitement, because we know that there is so much demand and so much potential in our platform. You know, eventually, you know, in an ideal world, if money was no object and we had an unlimited product team capacity and resource, we would be implementing additional things like peer support right away. But it's right now, we need to get the basics right. We need to get our user acquisition up. We need to get organizations onto the platform. But the peer support element, that is eventually something that is the kind of the epitome of what we would love to achieve. We would love to have a kind of 24/7 365 style peer support on a global scale, so that wherever you are in the world, you can download Positive Plus One and you can access that support and have people, a team, you know, almost like a kind of in the UK, I'm sure you guys have heard of the NHS, you know, our medical foundation here. You know, you have a what we call an NHS 24. You can call them up, you can message them, you have that direct support 24/7 365. So that is, we would love to create something like that in a product capacity on Positive Plus One in the future. That is a big thing for us. The peer support element of HIV is crucial in living with it successfully.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Community is always important, and the bringing of folks together, and no matter, honestly, no matter what is going on in your life, to always have that kind of just support, that concrete foundation. And I just wanted to mention something real quick, Dr. Guez. I did not know that about your spouse, and kind of ironic, I've had open heart surgery. I know it's not the same as a transplant, but yeah, I've had open heart surgery, so I can empathize with that a little bit. But anyways, continuing on with Lyle, do people automatically assume that you or your founder Christian are automatically like HIV positive just because of your brand?
I don't want to say categorically yes, but I'm also not going to say categorically no either. I think it very much depends. Yes, in some ways I suppose you could say yes. Another very common theme actually that we get relating to Positive Plus One and more generally is that we are an app for the gay community, and that is very much not the case. You know, we are for everybody. You know, HIV, we always say that HIV does not discriminate, and neither does Positive Plus One. Nobody is better than HIV, nobody's above HIV, and everybody's at the same risk of contracting HIV if we are not taking our sexual health and well-being seriously. So we are for everybody. I think on the HIV thing, yes, I've had it a lot. I've been asked a lot directly if I have HIV, and I say no, I'm someone that's not living with HIV. And Christian is very much the same. The next question that follows on from that, and this is more relating to Christian, is that, you know, you are the founder and CEO of a platform that is kind of pioneering the way in HIV. Why are you the person that we should be listening to in that space if you're not living with it yourself? And actually, what we say with this is, and this is perhaps a little bit controversial here, but myself and I'm a white cisgendered male. I recognize my privilege as someone that is not living with HIV. I don't exactly want for much, but Christian is a white heterosexual cisgendered male, and that community is the most stigmatizing, and continues to be the most stigmatizing, and they will listen to someone like Christian more than they'll even listen to me as a gay person, 100%. It needs to come actually more from someone that is not HIV positive than someone that is. People that are living with HIV, they know the scenarios, they know the outcomes, they know the situation, they know the gravity of the situation, they know the history of the AIDS epidemic. They don't need that education. The people that are not living with it do, and particularly the heterosexual community. So, sorry, I realize I've got a little bit off topic there, but yeah, so
no, to come back to your point, it's
about stigmatizing. And so absolutely, I guess you could say that that is an element of, you know, assuming that we have HIV, assuming that Christian is a gay person because he started an app or an HIV, you know, we can do better than that. And we need to stop thinking that way. But yes, absolutely. To come back to your question, we were asked this many times. It has not happened. It will not be the first time it's happened, and it certainly won't be the last. So, but yeah, it's something I don't care. I brush it off. It's like I say, I'm an enormous advocate for this community, and like I say, it needs to come from people that are not living with HIV more so than people that are having the virus already.
I completely agree with your point. We need to recognize our privilege, and we need to 100%. Use that privilege as a pedestal to help everybody else. Mm-hmm. And so I love that you made that point very much so like that. And my next question was going to be like, why would you, a non-HIV having individual, you know, advocate for such an organization? But you already answered that very much. And I fully support that. I just love that point of view, that perspective, because I very much feel that way as well. You know, me as a cisgender white female, I definitely need to use my platform and my privilege to bring awareness to 100%. Everybody else who is marginalized, discriminated against, you know what I mean? Because like I told you when we first met, Lyle, everybody deserves orgasms.
Everybody does it. Well, if you know of one, send it my way, because it's been a while.
I will let you borrow the ovipositor whenever you may like.
I really just get that in a box and just DHL it to Germany. I'll make sure it gets
to me. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
I honestly agree. I think it's a really precarious time right now. And I think, you know, we need to be doing our due diligence. I just cannot say that enough. It's really, and just the level of assumptions and misinformation in this community, just continues to blow my mind. And like I say, I'm not sitting here as the professional. You know, my background, I mean, like when I was living in London 4, 5, 6 years ago, my background is actually fashion PR, consumer PR, marketing. Nothing to do with HIV, nothing to do with medical, nothing to do with tech. Or if you told me I'd be doing spearheading comms at a tech startup, I would never have believed you back in the day when I finished my bachelor's degree, right? But you know, it's about educating ourselves. It's about doing something that is worthwhile. And for me, there's only so many of these agency PR jobs, working for different brands, companies. It's also unfulfilling. And to be quite honest, they're all the same. And I just think it got to a point with me where I needed a change. And I'm learning every day, like literally not even exaggerating, every single day I'm learning something new about HIV. So it's not as if we are sitting here knowing everything and kind of preaching to the choir about what we should and shouldn't do. It's very much, we're all in this kind of journey together. We're all trying to just do what we can and move the platform forward. And we're all learning. We all make mistakes as well. I've said the wrong things. I've, you know, assumed the wrong things, and you just need to own that. But there's a difference between, you know, owning something and through misunderstanding and just stigmatizing, period, from the offset. That's a very, very
Absolutely.
different situation, right? And so that's what we need to be working on.
Absolutely. I want to kind of like circle back to what you were saying about like the misinformation and the miseducation and kind of going along with how, especially if you're a man and you have HIV, how people just automatically assume that you're gay. And I kind of feel like my whole life, like whenever we've done anything sex education wise in school, I don't know if it's different over in Europe, but here in America, it is beat into our heads that you are more likely, like so much more likely to contract HIV if you are homosexual. And I almost feel like that is 99.9% contributor to that stigmatization that if you are a man with HIV, that you must be gay.
It's yes. I mean, you're not wrong, and that very much is what they tell you. And it's the situation is, it's maybe not said quite as sharply and quite as direct as that in Europe. And in my experience, and I mean, not speaking for anybody else, but yes, that is a huge issue. And actually, the reality, I've got some stats here, actually.
Oh yes, share numbers.
Like, I'm living in Germany, originally from the UK, I'm originally from Scotland. And actually, a few months ago, for the first time ever in Scotland, the and sorry, this stat's actually UK wide, that heterosexual partners that were having sex were actually had actually now overtaken the gay community in terms of new rates of HIV AIDS diagnosis. So what that means, well, that means two things. It means that we need to, and excuse my language here, we need to get that ridiculous notion to fuck about the gay community. That is complete nonsense. And two, what it comes back to is sexual health testing. We are seeing, and again, speaking much more from the European UK perspective at the moment here, we are seeing much, much higher levels of STD testing in the gay community than in the heterosexual community. Why? Because it comes back to this notion of, oh, I don't have sex that way. It's not going to impact me. This is complete nonsense. There are heterosexual women, men and women out there that have never done STD check for HIV in their life. Now, they go and get an STD check. Again, coming back to the NHS, these are services that are free in the UK. You don't need to pay a penny for it. But we have what we call opt in or out testing. Now, I don't know if it's the same in the US. What that means is, so you go for your sexual health check, you get tested for chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis. You actually tick a little box to say if you want to do an HIV test or not. I think that is absolutely wild, actually. I don't, it really astounds me that it's not just something that is, you know, why are we going and getting tested and it's automatically testing for all the other major infections, but HIV is sort of this thing that's put in its own little shell and it's put to the side and it's being treated as a separate entity. And it's absolutely not. You have just as much risk of getting HIV as you do with any other STD if you're not careful. So we really need to stop treating HIV as a separate entity and treating it as the same as anything else. It's not that there's no, I cannot say it any more simple than that. We need to just wise up about this. And so that is coming back to the what I was saying earlier. That this is the problem, is that people are saying, oh well, I don't need to worry about that. I don't have sex that way. That's not something that's going to concern me. I won't have a risk of getting that infection, that virus. And this is where the problems are becoming. And more so, heterosexual people that are actually contracting HIV and not realizing they have actually been contracted with HIV, and they're then continually sleeping around with other partners if they're not in monogamous relationships. And so the virus is spreading. And we are now in a situation where the gay community, as I said earlier, are very clued up. We know the association with our community in the 70s and 80s. We don't need reminding of that. We take our sexual health very seriously. Now, again, I'm generalizing somewhat. I'm not saying there are not people in the gay community that are not promiscuous and that are not testing. But generally speaking, the problem isn't coming from the gay community. It's coming from the heterosexual community in terms of testing and being aware of their status. So that is a massive issue. And until that issue is addressed and we see an increased uptake of HIV testing, opt-in testing and not opt-out, we're going to be in the same situation, and it's going to be going round and round and round.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I 100% agree. And I feel like it all comes back to a lack of medically accurate and non-discriminatory sex education for our youth, you know? And I mean, waiting until a child is an adult to teach them adult things kind of just negates the whole point of learning,
Absolutely.
you know? Like, why are you going to wait until a child is shoved into adulthood when the possibility of them already contracting these STDs and HIV has already happened, and they probably already have it, and that's how they learn about these things, you know? So, yeah, you're absolutely
Absolutely.
right.
This reminds me of what we just saw with COVID, and in our country, such divisiveness around one even believing that COVID was real, and then the autonomy versus social responsibility, public health response was, you can't make me wear a mask, you can't make me vaccinate, you can't make me, can't make me, can't make me. And so that I have an individual right to my body, and I appreciate that on so many levels. And we have a social responsibility as a public health, a global
Absolutely.
crisis. And so we saw heightened numbers of people that died in denying
Sure.
communities than we did in those who were like, I'm gonna heed, caution. And so
Yeah,
that's the sad
I'm gonna
part of
take
it.
that mask. I'm gonna wear that mask. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's the same, and I think, a lot of that, on the healthcare scenario, the healthcare systems are not perfect.
Nope.
And I mean, we obviously, in terms of stats, again, I hate to come back to data, but one in eight people at the moment globally that are living with HIV are denied certain healthcare services based on their status. So there is, it's not as if there's a lot of internal medical stigma and discrimination and saying, oh, I don't want to treat you, I don't want to, because you're living with HIV, and it's so there's a lot of issues inside these medical institutions, these medical organizations and health boards as well. And the change, it's got to come from them. And if it's not coming from inside these places, then how is it going to be echoed in society? It's just not. Yeah, it's it really we have a long way to go with this, unfortunately.
I think the biggest challenge with having a long way to go is recognizing that you have a long way to go and you're not unrealistic and you are prepared for the obstacles and the hurdles. And speaking of obstacles, what has been your biggest challenge or obstacle so far with just with the HIV
In
community,
terms
positive plus one, head of communications, just trying
Yeah.
to promote it, get it out there, get it accepted by the masses. What has been
Yeah.
your biggest challenge?
I think, I mean, it's again, it's a great question, but it's also a difficult question because it's not really as easy just to say, oh, this is the one thing, and then once we fix this, then we're going to have a super easy ride ahead. It's not really like that. I think, we are a startup, we're a small business, we are a brand that is trying to reach a global level of identity and awareness because it's an issue that is not going away. Yes, we are moving towards a vaccine, towards a potential cure, and that's incredible, but it's not changing the right now. I would say I can't remember what I meant. Brand awareness obviously is one. It's no mean feat, trying to tackle a global issue like this. We're a small business. It's only myself at the moment that's really doing the marketing and PR and comms. We have some freelance and part-time support, but in terms of full-time in the business, doing it, it's myself. And that involves social, that involves reaching out to hundreds, and I mean hundreds of organizations, getting on calls, trying to explain what we're doing, getting them set up with a platform. The list goes on, it trickles down from there. And so I think it's the kind of it's this feeling of the unknown. I think there's a lot of interest. There's a lot of interest in the platform. And anyone that we speak to about the platform, the reception, the response is always amazing. But it's the getting to that point of having the conversation. It's the cold calling, it's the emails, it's the rejecting the emails, it's oh, not right now. But actually, when we get that moment to sit down and explain to them and talk about the potential of this platform, talk about if we get some more investment, what that would mean in terms of our product roadmap, the penny drops. And they say, oh my God, this is mind-blowing. We don't actually this is really, so it's almost getting over this initial kind of, we're kind of half a year nearly into the launch. We're kind of at that sticky period. We're not quite at the beginning. We're not quite where we want to be. It's kind of coming and going, being pulled back and forward, So I think just that general awareness, user acquisition, we're seeing it's a little bit lower, quite honestly, than we would like. But then on the flip side of that, what we are seeing is a great level of engagement with those that are on the platform. So it's kind of, where do you draw the line? We're a free platform. Our revenue comes from ad space. We're about to, sign various deals and things that will start generating revenue. And then that will start, like I say, improving our roadmap and ability to scale quicker. So there's various challenges. And like I say, I'm sitting here talking very much from a comms and marketing side. Christian, I'm sure, would have a whole lot of different things he would want to say. But yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, to be honest with you. But I think for me, the main thing right now is just brand awareness and user acquisition. That's, and we just need to keep pushing. And eventually, doing things like South by Southwest and all these kind of on the ground activations and networking opportunities, we are meeting some incredible people. Our network pool is expanding. We are going in the right direction. We are getting more signups. We're getting more organizational calls. Tomorrow, actually, we have two calls. One's with the Men's Health Foundation in LA, another one with a fantastic Black queer-owned organization called Reach LA, which are empowering the Black and queer community in Los Angeles. So, we are getting there. And those are two connections that we would not have had it not been for South by Southwest, for example, where I met you lovely lot. So,
Yes.
We are moving there. We are getting there. It's just probably a little bit slower than I would like. But again, it swings and roundabouts. We have days where it's flying high and days where it's slow as, So,
Well, I
yeah.
feel like humanity as a whole, we're definitely instant gratification. Like even with
100%.
my show, I have this great idea for the show and I'm putting on the show and I'm doing great things with the show. But like, I want to wake up tomorrow and I want to be as famous as Beyonce. You know what I mean? Just from the show. So, and every day that I wake up and I'm not, I'm a little bit sad. So,
Yeah.
Lily,
Lyle, I have a quick question.
yeah, go ahead, Dr. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
As an educator, I would
Yes.
encourage you to make internship opportunities available, because
Yeah.
you've got media, you've got sexuality studies, you've got, all of those aspects that you could tie in and
Yeah.
provide great opportunities. And I bet they could do that work virtually, so you could really tap
Oh,
to
absolutely. We
talent, emerging
are remote
talent.
first. We are a remote first company. Like I said, I'm sitting here in Germany. My manager's in the UK. It's we have people supporting us already in the US in a freelance capacity. We have someone in Pakistan. We have
Wow.
various people. So
That's
we are
amazing.
a remote first organization. So and like I say, the internship thing, the kind of part-time work, that's we're very open to that. I think if you have something to say, if you have a way, an idea, or something that you want to contribute to Positive Plus One, we're always open to hearing that. At the moment, it is just capacity and being able to provide. Because also, what I wouldn't want is someone coming into the business and then not receiving the attention that I would want to give them, or the attention that I would hope to receive if I was doing an internship, especially if it was like my first time doing something like this. So again, and this is also what I mean about when I'm saying we're very cautious about how we're doing what we're doing, and, you know, making sure that it's right. Because Positive Plus One for us, it's more than just a platform. You know, we spent a lot of time, and again, Dara, I remember we had this conversation whenever we were in Austin, is that, you know, we spent a lot of time, well, you were saying one of the things that attracted you to our booth was the language and our light boxes and the kind of marketing collateral. Now, you know, we spent a lot of time on that in terms of our brand identity, how we're actually talking about HIV, the language we're using, and also the language that we're using to communicate Positive Plus One. And what that also does is it creates a sense of community, and it creates this kind of holistic feeling of being in an entity that we want to try to, people are all over the world, right? But we want to create a commonality. And so it kind of, I also would want that to be the same in who we hire or who we have interning with us. You know, I wouldn't want it to feel distant or, you know, not enjoyable, I suppose, you know. So again, it needs to be the right time, obviously the right person, but very much the right time and allow, and yeah, anyway, sorry, I'm rambling on, but
no,
you know,
worries.
What I'm trying to say.
Absolutely no worries, Lyle, thank you so much. I have a couple more questions. And looking back, is there anything you would do different? Would you do anything different looking back on your time with Positive Plus One?
I mean, I think, you know, it's difficult because obviously I wasn't there whenever this whole idea came to, you know, fruition, and I wasn't there in the early days, you know, this is 8-9 years ago. I think, you know, I try to not saying that doing something different is necessarily a negative, but I try to really not look back too much, to be honest. And I feel that sounds a very cliche response, but I really, as someone that suffers from anxiety and someone that is a major overthinker, I really try and just focus on the present, because you cannot change, you know, like I said, you know, before we dialed in here, you know, there's things I would have changed about South by Southwest. There's for sure probably things I would have changed about our launch, you know, but it's, we're here and it's doing well. So I try to not think like that.
I'm kind of the same way. Dwelling on the past stresses me out, especially because there's really nothing we could do about it now.
It does, exactly. And it just wastes time, and it just wastes time about what you can do going forward. I'd rather plow that energy into what we're going to do and make tomorrow better than worry about yesterday.
Oh my God, that's beautiful. That was so beautiful. Thank you so much for saying that, Lyle.
You would think I did comms or something, wouldn't you? You would think I was
right. Right, you would think. One would think. What are Positive Plus One's plans for the future?
So expansion, obviously, is one. Like I say, massive expansion plans. The next, well, and again, don't hold me to this, but all going well, the next major roadmap would be a Spanish translation of the app, because the Spanish speaking market, even in the US, but also in Latin America and the South of America, the Southern Americas, rather, should I say, but also here in Spain, you know, you've got Portuguese speaking and Spanish speaking markets. So that's certainly on the roadmap for us. General European expansion, so Germany, France, the Netherlands. And again, with that would go translations of the app into German, Dutch, French, all those kind of things. So yes, product expansion for sure. We have quite ambitious goals with regards user acquisition. And like I say, we're not 100% where I'd want to be with that at the moment. But like I said, we're trying to be positive, and we're trying to keep our heads up and just keep going. And then I think more generally, we have some exciting exhibitions. Again, as I was saying before we joined the call today, you know, these kind of face-to-face public interactions are so vital for us at the moment. So we are going to be exhibiting in Birmingham, England at the end of this month at the annual British HIV AIDS conference. Well, actually, it happens twice a year, in the spring and in the autumn, the fall, as you Americans would say. The fall, sorry, not the autumn. So this is the spring conference. So that is for 3 days. That's a medical oriented. So all of our kind of big organizations relating to the medical space in the UK will be there. We will be attending the International AIDS Conference in Munich, which is in the south of Germany. Berlin is in the north, for context. So that is happening in July. So again, very exciting to be going to that. Just amazing networking opportunities. And we will be coming back to the US, to New Orleans in Louisiana in September for USCA, for the US Conference on HIV AIDS. And again, we'll be exhibiting at that. Yeah, and there are a few other things, but I can't quite say what they are because we've not signed the contract yet. Yeah, they are. There's a few exciting things happening. But yeah, a lot of exhibiting, expansion plans. We're also about to. Oh, and actually, I can say one thing. Actually, we are going to do, and this is actually underway as we speak. We have actually just launched, and if you go to Positive Plus One on Instagram, well, all major socials, but Instagram primarily, you will see that we are still looking for people to be part of our new social campaign. It's called Bring It On, and what we are meaning by that is bring on the stigma, bring on the hate, bring on the misunderstanding, and basically fuck you to all of that misunderstanding, stigma, and hatred. So whether you are male, female, trans, non-binary, black, Latino, white, you name it, we want to hear from you. If you're living with HIV, send us some images of yourself that are giving strong, bold, empowered vibes. And we will be running this campaign now that we're in Q2 of this year. We'll be posting two pictures per week of different people for 3 months. And so the plan of this campaign is to showcase in a very natural, organic way, lots of different everyday looking people like you and me that are, oh, this is what HIV looks like. Oh, this is also what HIV looks like. So yeah, we've got that campaign underway. We have a fabulous
Can I ask you a
freelance.
question real quick about that?
Yeah.
What, because I know children, are born with HIV sometimes and do
Yes.
contract it. Are they going to be involved in this campaign?
So at the moment, no. Mainly for just kind of, again, it's a bit of a
Paperwork
It's a bit of a
purposes?
gray area, the whole kind of, yeah, and actually, as our founder has got a 1-year-old, and so it's a bit of a gray area with photographing children, using children's imagery. It's a little bit of an area that I don't know how I feel about it, to be totally honest with you. We have got a fabulous woman called Zora Voice, who is based in New York. She was actually born with HIV, and she is now in her 30s, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, or either late 20s or early 30s, who I spoke with actually last week. And she will be part of the campaign. So she is a Black American woman who was born with HIV.
That's
So it is an area that we are obviously aware of and that we are addressing. But from the children's perspective, I don't feel this campaign is quite right for them because it's, again, the core messaging here is fuck the stigma.
right, and children should not be fucking anything.
Well, but also, I'd like to, or I certainly would hope not, that children at such a young age have not quite had enough of a lived experience in that area to be able to really convey that emotion in a campaign. So I think it's, yeah, we're drawing the line at 21 is the minimum for this one.
I
So
think that's a great idea, and I think I like that you're incorporating a woman who is now in her 30s who was born with HIV to raise that awareness that children are born with it, and I think that's
she
really
is
important.
fabulous. She really is, and actually, she's someone that I would really recommend if you're really interested in hearing more about it. She's always happy to speak to people, and I think her story is really fascinating. And she's one to really watch for because she's also going to be contributing a lot to our guidance section. And so anyone that is going to download Positive Plus One as a result of this interview, keep your eye out, Zora Voice. She is an amazing, amazing woman, and you're this. Yeah, she's going places for sure. So.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Lyle, I thank you for sharing all of this information with me. I have one last question, though.
Yes.
What's Lyle's plans for the future?
Oh God, my plans. Goodness me. Oh wow, I wasn't expecting that actually. My plans for the future.
It could be immediate future, like you plan to have a nice cup of tea and go to bed,
I actually was this close to joining this call with a glass of wine, but I thought that would be a little bit more. But actually, and the problem with this is I have this drink. I feel like people think it's either a gin or a tequila. It's literally just sparkling water and lemon and lime, sorry. So confirm it's not alcohol. Yeah, well, I mean it's 8 p.m. my time, so we're gonna have some dinner and just have an early night tonight. Busy week. But yeah, I think just generally, and again, this is a whole thing for another time. I am just quite happy. I like my job, I like my life, I'm quite happy. I've got a friends here that I love and support me. And I think the last few years before coming to Germany and moving to Berlin, there was a lot of turbulence, a lot of moving around. And I think so I'm actually quite happy just being quite settled right now and just being, just enjoying life. We're coming into summer here, which is getting it. Summer is amazing in Berlin. I feel like everyone needs to experience a Berlin summer once, just the lakes and cycling around, and it's beautiful. But yeah, I'm just looking forward to everything that's ahead. And like I say, we'll be in Birmingham in a few weeks. And yeah, I'm just excited at what's going to happen, really. I'm just trying to be a bit more present. You know, I recently turned 30.
Happy birthday.
Just trying to, thank you. It was last month, but you know, quite recent.
Mine was last month too. What day?
15th.
Mine was the 16th.
Oh, wow.
No way. That's crazy.
Now that's one of the moments that I wish I just said the 16th. That'd be even cooler. Could you imagine that? but yeah, I'm really just trying to be, I really am trying to be a bit more grounded and in the moment. I think, you know, it's been quite a turbulent couple of years. So yeah, I'm just trying to just enjoy life, to be honest. I'm just where I can.
That's so wonderful. Thank you. Thank you very much for contributing all of your information and your time and just being here and being a part of this HIV positive plus one community and sharing all of this information with us. And thank you for being in Texas when you were, so we could meet, so we could network,
know,
and you could
be here.
I know, it
was right place, right time,
yes,
girl.
Yes, yes. I'm a firm believer in the universe, karma, everything works out for a reason, you know?
I'm all about energy, I feel that. But no, honestly, thank you so much, guys, for having me, and I hope I've not talk too much.
No, this is a talk show. We want you to talk. But for you folks listening at home or wherever on your phones, this has been another episode of Not Without My Orgasm, streaming on YouTube and Podbean. So yeah, later taters.